Welcome, fellow travelers. Thank you for joining us today for our workshop on Tradition 6, A Guide to the 12 Traditions, this workshop series. An ACA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the ACA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. This workshop is being recorded and the audio will be available at a later date. Okay, and we're going to take a moment to say the Serenity Prayer, which most closely calls to your heart. I'll take a deep breath and begin. Higher power, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Cheryl, you're up.
Welcome, everyone. Hi, my name is Cheryl. I'm calling in from Toronto, and Mary Jo and Aaron and our tech host Dee Dee will be facilitating this workshop today on Tradition 6. I will let Mary Jo introduce herself, followed by Aaron, and Dee Dee can say hello as well.
Hi, everyone. I'm Mary Jo, and I'm an adult child, and I am calling in from Des Plaines, Illinois, and I am glad to be here, glad to be talking about the traditions again. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. I'm Erin D., an adult child from sunny, hot, humid Norristown, Pennsylvania today. Also glad to be here and glad you're here as well.
Dee Dee. Hi, my name is Dee Dee and I'm zooming in from Texas, and I am very grateful to be in this workshop today, and thank you for allowing me to be of service. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone, and welcome to our participants. Our agenda today, we'll start with our workshop mission and the intent of the 12 traditions, followed by a reading of our suggested commitment to service. We'll go through our workshop guidelines and introduce the tradition, and then we'll present a skit and follow that with some discussion questions. And at the end, we will talk about some takeaways or additional thoughts, and we'll close with our Tradition 6 meditation.
Our mission is to provide education and experience through a series of 12 workshops on how the traditions work to keep meetings safe, recovery, and recovery oriented by practicing the spiritual principles. The intent of the 12 traditions from the Big Red Book on page 489 and 490, the ACA traditions outline fellowship unity, group autonomy, and the ultimate authority of ACA, a loving higher power, as expressed in our group conscience. The ACA traditions frame our leadership style in the language of being a trusted servant. We avoid a style of governance or authority over another. Anonymity coming from love underlines all of the traditions and our group conduct. With the 12 traditions, we sustain ACA groups that allow the ACA solution of reparenting oneself to emerge and thrive. And we're going to take the suggested commitment to service here from Big Red Book on page 601. I perform service so that my program will be available for myself, and through those efforts, others may benefit. I will perform service and practice my recovery by 1, affirming that the true power of our program rests in the membership of the meetings and is expressed through our higher power and through group conscience. 2, confirming that our process is one of inclusion and not exclusion, showing special sensitivity to the viewpoint of the minority in the process of formulating the group conscience, so that any decision is reflective of the spirit of the group and not merely the vote of the majority.
Three, placing principles before personalities, 4, keeping myself fit for service by working my recovery as a member of the program, 5, striving to facilitate the sharing of experience, strength, and hope at all levels, meetings, intergroups, regional committees, service boards, and world services.
6, accepting the different forms and levels of service and allowing those around me to each function according to their own abilities. 7, remaining willing to forgive myself and others for not performing perfectly. 8, being willing to surrender the position in which I serve in the interest of unity and to provide the opportunity for others to serve to avoid problems of money, property, and prestige, and to avoid losing my own recovery through the use of service to act out my old behavior, especially in taking care of others, controlling, rescuing, being a victim, etc. And 9, remembering I am a trusted servant, I do not govern.
A workshop guidelines. So today we share in a general way. For our purposes today, we kindly ask everyone to focus on the topic being presented so that we may cover all material. Please remember to employ principles over personalities, curiosity over criticism, progress, not perfection, service coming from love, and remembering our halt for humility, acceptance, love, and tolerance.
Tradition 6. An ACA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the ACA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. And the spiritual principle to Tradition 6 is known to be autonomy. So from our Big Red Book on page 520, some words about autonomy. There are many fine community groups, treatment programs, or therapists who would like to link their programs or practices to the ACA program, but we must decline their offers. To accept could eventually lead us into controversy or link us to groups outside of ACA. To be associated with such groups in the public eye can confuse those seeking our help. We could turn people away by appearing to endorse or affiliate with an outside entity. It is an autonomous 12-step program grounded in spiritual principles.
Okay, the following skit that we're going to do represents a discussion at a business meeting for a group that holds their meeting in a counseling center. And a reminder that Tradition 6, an ACA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the ACA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Ready?
Yeah, I think I'm Drew. Mm-hmm. Okay, all right. So this is a Tradition 6 skit. I ran into my therapist who told me about their annual event here, and they would like to highlight ACA on their flyer and social media page.
Wow, that sounds like a great idea. It would help get the ACA name out and bring more people into the meeting. What do they need from us to do that?
I spent some time this afternoon and created a draft of a flyer, including the ACA logo. This won't cost us anything to participate, but it will help the counseling center get more clients. And like you said, it will help us get more people for our meeting. I think this is the least we can do since we don't even pay any rent to use this space.
I'm feeling uncomfortable about this. Isn't there a tradition or something that says we shouldn't do this?
I think Lee is right. I'm not opposed to having a table at their event where we can hand out our literature or something like that. Even though we have our meetings here, I think by being on their flyer with our logo, we would be saying that this is a great place to get your counseling. I didn't have that experience.
I think you two are overthinking this. I say we just go with it and see what happens.
The end. Okay. All right, and now we'll look at some questions, and on each of these pages, the tradition is shown again at the top. So what we'd like to do, please raise your hand if you want to speak. And we'd like to limit comments to about a minute and a half. We may choose people out of turn if somebody raises their hand we haven't heard from before. So let's start with the first one. Regarding the phrase, money, property, and prestige. Hello? Lost the PowerPoint. Regarding the phrase money, property, and prestige, in terms of online as well as in-person meetings, what are examples of how a meeting could run into problems if the endorser or appear to endorse a facility? So please raise your hand if you would like to respond to that question. Denise?
Hi, this is Denise. I guess what comes up for me is if this group goes along and attaches themselves to this counseling center, what I'm thinking is they definitely would be abandoning Tradition 6 for sure, but our messages are different, and the whole spiritual component, I think our message would be lost as far as following the 12 steps. It would get diluted, I'm sorry, I'm not clear today, but.
Thank you, Denise. Okay. Dee Dee.
Hi, Didi, adult child, amongst other things. So for me, what came up is that it would cause a lot of confusion. I would think, maybe this is a part of the center. And so that's the first thing that came to me. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you. Some other thoughts that we had when we were preparing this is that actually being aligned with a facility, especially like a counseling facility, might keep people from joining the group. Why do you think that would be? Anybody? Erin?
So my thought is that if we're aligned with some specific facility, and that facility maybe specializes in a certain type of therapy or something, you know, then aren't we possibly also telling people that we are recommending that sort of therapy or anything else associated with that particular place? Yes.
Thank you. Denise?
They're muted.
You're on mute.
Yeah, I agree with what Erin was saying. And for myself, I had decades of therapy. and it just didn't work for me because I was in so much shame. I couldn't share the things. I couldn't share my stuff with my therapist. And it wasn't until I stepped in an ACA room and everyone is sharing all the things I was afraid to share. And what I meant to say before is like the group, if they are going to be there, they need to be making some kind of seventh tradition to that center so they are self-supporting. To me, the only appropriate way to for them to be involved is they can have a table, but definitely not be highlighted in any way, shape, or form. Thanks.
Thanks, Denise. Karen?
Thank you. For me, it comes down to the primary purpose, right? The primary purpose of ACA, according to Tradition 5, is to carry the message of ACA to the adult child who still suffers, regardless of the circumstances of that adult child, and based solely on the self-determined self-identification of that adult child. And for a therapy center, ultimately, it comes down to the fact that there's another primary purpose. It's like the business owner is trying to make a living out of that. And so their interests are perhaps to some extent aligned with ACA's interests, but ultimately they're trying to recruit clients. They're trying to recruit their own business to be able to sustain their business and make a living from it. And that is not aligned with the primary purpose of ACA. Thank you.
Thanks, Karen. Buddy?
Yeah, hi, I'm Buddy. I'm an adult child. I'm just thinking, for someone who has no knowledge of ACA or a 12-step program, but who is looking for help, and if they see the ACA name, logo, et cetera, on the flyer, they may initially be hesitant because they may think there's a cost involved with going to ACA. If they get beyond that point and then attend a meeting at that center, they may be expecting professional help and not understanding that they are in a meeting of lay people who are only going to share their experience, strength, and hope, and not going to give direction or advice to this newcomer. So it would really blur that line between what's free and or cost money, and also what's our experience versus, oh, this is a professional who learned about this in school and can give me directions.
Thank you. Thank you. We're going to move on to the next question. By the way, we were going to either paste the skit into chat or let's see. I think that's what we're going to do.
We're going to paste it into chat, and then from time to time put it back on the screen.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Cheryl, are you able to paste it in the chat for us?
I can do that. Yeah, thank you. I'm just going to stop the share. So while I do that.
Okay. All right. Question two. When a facility makes space and okay, you said you were going to stop. Yes.
Sorry. Shall I let you finish? Get the discussion showing, and then I'll paste it. Yeah, let me do that first. Let's do this first. Yeah.
When a facility makes space available for a meeting, whether it's free or not, how does the group maintain its autonomy and independence from the facility? And this is sort of independent of the idea of appearing to endorse it on a flyer. But how do they maintain their independence and autonomy in general? Buddy?
Yeah. The facility may offer the space for free, but we insist that if we're going to use the space, we are going to pay rent, period. We don't accept a free space.
Thank you, buddy. Yeah. And that's what a lot of groups do. And in my experience, when we've been offered free space, we do still contribute. Thank you. Anybody else?
Hi, this is Stella, ACA. I would like to say that it's like any other relationship that I get into as an adult child. I stay in my lane. I keep my intentions clear. I communicate about my actions. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Stella. Okay. Anyone else? We've actually had some, we have some meetings and have run across this and at different times where a meeting lists an email as a public contact that is like the secretary of the facility or something like that. If we listed, or if a meeting listed the secretary, like say for instance, of the counseling facility, what sort of is the danger of that? Is there a problem with that? Or is it just okay? Cheryl? I'm sorry, Aaron?
But you can go first, though.
Oh.
Go ahead.
Okay, I was just going to say the primary danger is that the meeting may have moved on to a different location. The secretary answers the phone and says, oh yeah, that group meets here Tuesday nights at 7 p.m. The newcomer arrives, can't get into the building and say, well, those ACA people, they're flaky, like they're not even here. And just that little bit of discouragement may be enough to deter the individual from going any further.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, so my thought was about that, with today and caller ID, that if the person answering the phone is a contact from the facility and not, first of all, the caller ID shows up in a facility and who knows who's receiving that call, who's answering that phone. And, you know, would I feel safe calling a facility in those circumstances? I had a friend, there was a church where we had a meeting and it was her church. And she felt really uncomfortable just about being there and people seeing her and wondering, where is she going? You know, oh, why are you going there, kind of thing. So there's that feeling of a newcomer, you know, with anonymity and shame, who's going to be seeing this. Yes.
Thank you, Erin. Didi?
Hi, Didi, ACA. I'm thinking if it's in a counseling facility, that the meeting may be perceived to be a part of the counseling center. I would think that'd be a bad idea. I mean, I know of meetings in a church, you know, but then even in a church, I believe it has to be stated that they're not affiliated with the church. So maybe some clear sign that says they're not affiliated with the counseling center. That's kind of where my thoughts are, because it's similar to me in my head, where we were given an example last month or at one of the prior tradition meetings, where there's a table set for ACA literature and anything else, any other literature that is not ACA endorsed literature. So I think a sign would have to be posted somewhere where it would have to say something like, you know, this meeting is not affiliated with this counseling center. And that may be clearer to a newcomer, for example, or you know, me having some experience with ACA, I would know automatically that it's not affiliated with any organization or any company or anything. So that's kind of where my thoughts are. And I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Didi. Denise?
Hi. I guess with what that does is having it, it implies affiliation. And so it takes me back to tradition 7 of self-supporting, and part of being self-supporting isn't just financial, but it's also doing service to be available to communicate with our fellow travelers by by being listed as a contact person, not using the church secretary or the counselor, wherever you are. Thanks.
Thank you. Erin, did you have another comment?
I did. One of the meetings that I go to is at a church, and the room that we use gets all kinds of announcements about things that are happening at the church. And some of the things are very interesting, you know, different yard sales and events and stuff like that that aren't even necessarily a part of a religious situation. But, you know, we, as some of the fellow travelers, they go, well, let's go to that, you know. And so if there's a newcomer in the room and we don't have an announcement that we are not affiliated with this facility or church or whatever, that would be very confusing to people. And also, the other reason I think the announcement is really important is that we had a person in our meetings who just had a really, really hard time even walking into a church multi-purpose room because it was a church. So it was really hard for that person. So
thank you. Yes. Thank you. Bottom line, I would like to say that there's nothing wrong with holding a meeting in a facility. If space is available and, we find space where we can. Sometimes it's not easy to find a space to hold a meeting. There may be some facilities that require insurance, and that may be beyond the capability of the group to pay for insurance. So if we find a facility that that is available at a reasonable cost, as we said before, if it's free, it seems that it's the best is in the best interest of the group to even to come to contribute anyway. But I like the idea that somebody said about making it clear in the meeting listing that the group is not affiliated with the facility that they're meeting in, especially a counseling center, I would say. And as somebody who works with the meeting list, Martin does too, I think that's really helpful for us because we get meetings that it's really unclear whether the meeting is being conducted by a therapist or not, but suggesting to them that they allow us to add a comment that they are not affiliated with the facility, I think will be a positive thing to be able to do, to ask them to consider. So thank you for that discussion. Any other comments before we move on to the next one? Okay. Cheryl, the next question. Thank you. Question 3, how does an understanding of Tradition 6 guide us in our own personal recovery with ourselves and others? And again, the tradition is about never endorsing, financing, and lending ACA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Each of the traditions in general we have found, and there's writings about it in the Big Red Book too, about how we can apply these things to ourselves. So, any thoughts about how this can apply to us individually? One of the things that we thought about when we were preparing the workshop, the idea of prestige and giving prestige to individuals, like within the group or otherwise. In other words, are there dangers in giving prestige to individuals, like putting them on a pedestal? It may seem like a little bit of a reach from that, but I think, yeah. What about that, Buddy?
I in the area of prestige, I need to remind myself and any newcomer that I might be working with that I am not ACA. I am not the official spokesperson for ACA, that I am just a fellow traveler, and that don't take what I say as gospel about ACA. Read the literature and find your own interpretation of that. So in that sense, the prestige, if I start thinking I'm the spokesperson for, I'm in trouble, because that's all about prestige. That's all about my ego. Mm-hmm. And if I had the answers, I wouldn't need ACA. Yes.
Thanks, buddy. Martin?
Thank you. I like those questions when I try to apply traditions to my own recovery. And for me, coming from a household where there was always problems of money, it's kind of, you know, that tradition reminds me of trying to be kind of going to tradition seven, self-supporting, so not to get enmeshed with other people because, for example, I lack money, you know, that because of, I don't know, my poor money management, I get, you know, involved with some people and then I endorse their kind of stuff. For example, the other thing that comes to me to like kind of ACA related, I don't know, I could, for example, kind of piggyback on what Buddy said, you know, I could, I don't know, write a book and, you know, try to kind of wrap up my own recovery and try to sell it for money. You know, stuff like this, just use, I don't know, use ACA recovery for my own personal gains. And, you know, it's just the same when it comes to prestige. It's, for me, it's important when I kind of try to, well, take people through steps, newcomers or people who are a bit younger in program to me, not to put myself into a kind of position of authority figure, you know, because, you know, I'm more kind of, you know, more involved, well, more experienced in program because I can learn much more, a lot of more sometimes from person who's got younger time in program than me. So that's what really comes to me. Thanks.
Thank you, Martin. Denise?
Hi. What's coming up for me is it's autonomy of the program, that it doesn't matter who we are, what our jobs are, that I am equal to every other ACA member, and which is a whole different world than the world we have to live in, because, you know, out in the world, it's, you know, who are you, how well are you educated, what do you drive, so on and so forth. So that prestige is a real trap, and I think it takes us away from our recovery. So, to be reminded, even though I have some years under my belt, you know, the newcomer is just as important, and I can learn a lot from them too. Thanks.
Thanks, Denise. Going along with this, if somebody wants to put us on a pedestal for some reason, what would be like a healthy, non-shaming thing to do in response? Denise, is that an old hand or a new hand? Well, let's go with Dee Dee.
Okay. Hi, Dee Dee ACA. So I'm speaking from personal experience where it has happened. And the first thing I say, depending on what the person said, is I don't govern. No one governs. We are all equals. And so that automatically gives me comfort because I've recognized that someone basically put me on a pedestal. And that is not my purpose in being of service. My purpose in being of service is to reach the newcomer, to spread the message. And so I automatically say this is our fellowship, not mine. No one governs. So that's basically where I go. Thank you.
Thank you, Dee Dee. Thank you. Karen?
Thank you. I think one thing that an individual can do to sort of counteract being placed on a pedestal by one or more people in the meeting is to encourage service rotation and encourage others to step up to do service, because then that automatically just divides the appearance of authority. Another thing that I have to remind myself to do when I have the experience of being placed on a pedestal by people, and sometimes it happens and I don't even know it's happening, but one way to counter that is to just be radically honest about the struggles in my own life, and just by example, by being so honest about, like, no, my life isn't perfect. I don't have this all figured out. Just also diffusing any illusion that there is any such thing as a perfect answer, a perfect solution to the problem that we're all struggling with. Thank you.
Thank you, Karen. Denise?
Sorry, I didn't lower my hand.
Okay, thank you. Erin?
I was trying to think about it in both ways, in terms of, you know, when it's somebody, when someone in the meeting is putting another person on a pedestal, or if I'm the person that's being put on the pedestal. And like the first thought to me comes with, well, how to approach that with love. You know, how would I want to be spoken to if I was the person putting myself on a pedestal or agreeing with that? And then also the you know, sharing from my heart that it's the newcomer that is often the most important person in the room to me, because with decades of recovery, I can still go into denial, and I need to be reminded why I'm here, why I need to keep coming back, you know, how much it has worked for me. The other part of that, if somebody's putting me on a pedestal, I love to use humor and I love slogans. And I kind of go with the slogan that I've heard in another program, which is the only place to go once you're on a pedestal is falling right off.
Thank you. Good point. Dee Dee.
Sorry about that. I couldn't remember the tradition, but it is in our traditions, number two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving higher power as expressed through our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. So referring directly to the literature is in a kind manner and in a humble manner would probably be the best thing for me. Thanks.
Thank you, Dee. Denise?
Okay, I remember what I was gonna say now. what comes up for me is, if I allow myself to be on a pedestal and I'm all knowing, then I put myself in a situation to hold on to that, and I'm no longer my true self, which is what I've been fighting, working so hard to become. And it takes me away from being humble and teachable. So it's critical for me to remain who I am and try not to put myself in that light to anybody. Thanks.
Thank you, Denise. I may have mentioned this in another workshop or in other settings, but when I am in all three of my meetings, or at least two of them, I've had a hand in starting the meetings. And it's my my goal that over time, with a sharing of the service roles, that nobody coming into the meeting would know that it's transparent, because there is, I'm not it. And if I'm still the only person after years, I'm still the only person holding a service role, then there's issues that have to be addressed in terms of rotation of service. And if there is no rotation of service in a group, and for me, the question becomes how healthy and viable is a group if there's only one person doing all the work? Is it because that person won't give up the roles, or is it because nobody wants to step up and do it? So I kind of went around the corners there a little bit, but go ahead, Darren, please. Sure.
Hi, Darren, adult child in the UK. My internet's not great. Anyway, thank you for holding the space in the workshop. My thoughts, as I'm fairly, well, around 2 years in, but I still feel fairly new, but as a member of another fellowship as well, and, you know, remembering this, when I thought about this tradition and this discussion question, you know, my first sponsor was in another fellowship, was a television presenter for kids. And my youngest was really young at the time and had been to see some of his shows with her and stuff. And it was difficult at first to separate the status in his show business life and private life from the step work at first. But then I'm remembering the sort of, like what was said earlier with the literature, as remembering my intentions is what really helps me to stick with the program, you know, looking at my ego and stuff like that. And certainly when doing service, I found it difficult in ACA. I found it more difficult getting, I'm finding people willing to do service to keep groups going. And I feel, because it's a new passion of mine, that I wait. And then when no one steps forward, I might at last minute take up something else that I haven't done. And I feel that after hearing what I've heard, I feel that, yeah, it's important for me to remember my motivation.
Thank you very much, Darren. Okay, Buddy?
Just on that topic of being put on a pedestal, I tend to use sarcasm sometimes, but I try to say it with love, and I might ask the newcomer, apparently you missed last week's meeting when I was feeling suicidal and didn't know if I could get through the meeting without killing myself. The other thing, if someone wants to put me on a pedestal, I might want to ask them, do you want to talk to my wife first? She might have a different impression of me. So try, and someone else touched on it. They used the term radical honesty, rigorous honesty. If I am able to communicate to the person whom I really am and the mood swings and things that I really go through, they may change their mind about putting me on a pedestal. And that's the same approach I use toward others, to see others also. None of us are perfect or work a per- perfect program. Thanks. Pass.
Thank you, Bobby. Aaron, would you like to comment again, or is that an old hand? Okay, thank you.
I'm sorry.
No problem. We always ask, is that an old hand? And I always think somebody, I'm an old hand at this. Okay, let's go to the next question, please. Question 4. Looking at the laundry list and other laundry list traits that are on page 648 and 649 of the Big Red Book, which traits might individually cause group members to try to influence the group to be diverted from this tradition? So, what is it? Which traits are being exhibited when somebody tries to exert undue pressure or influence? Aaron.
I guess just instinctively, I went to number 6. We have an overdeveloped sense of responsibility, and it is easier for us to be concerned with others rather than ourselves. This enables us not to look too closely at our own faults. It's just a theme for me at the moment I keep looking at, so I just instinctively went to that. And I think, I guess again, like I said earlier, it's remembering to look at my intentions and then trying to just remember that it's principles above personalities, and that we're all equal members of the meeting. And, you know, I guess that's all I've got. Thanks.
Thank you, Darren.
Didi, ACA. So on the laundry list, I think number 2, we became approval seekers and lost our identity in the process. And number 12, we are dependent personalities who are terrified of abandonment and will do anything to hold on to a relationship in order not to experience painful abandonment feeling. It goes on. From the other laundry list, I think we dominate others and abandon them before they can abandon us. I don't know, but the word dominate kind of grabbed my attention, and I'll pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Didi. Marcin?
Thank you. For me, well, most of other laundry list traits, really, well, most, some of them, but definitely the first one, to cover our fear of people and our dread of isolation, we tragically become the very authority figures who frighten others and cause them to withdraw. Also concede trait 3, we frighten people with our anger and threat of belittling criticism. The trait number 4 was mentioned. Trait 5, we like from the standpoint of a victimizer and attracted to people we can manipulate and control in our important relationships. Trait 6 as well, where we're irresponsible and self-centered. I think that's the main ones that really come up for me when it comes to the other laundry list.
Okay. Thank you, Martin. Didi, did you have something else, or is that okay?
Sorry, no, I'm good. Let me lower the hand.
All right. Thank you. Those are a lot of good things. One that, actually, I closed my book, but one of them that came up for me, and I think it might have already been mentioned, and the other laundry list, trait 3, we frighten people with our anger and threat of belittling criticism. It's sort of like my bullying others to conform. And kind of like, how do you not agree with what I'm saying or what I'm doing? Okay. Aaron.
The thought just came to me, you know, well, number 1, wait, I got to set my timer because I tend to forget to do that. That Anytime one of those laundry lists is mentioned, like if I thought I was on the laundry list, that then when I read the flip side of that, it could have been either side that would have had me being dysfunctional in that scenario. And my mind was going to, well, what would the solution be in the meeting if we are in a business meeting and we are operating out of those lists? That, well, then how does the group get back on track? What's coming to me is, like, does the group have an inventory for the business meetings when it comes to traditions and looking at how we're relating to others, how we're relating to the situation, and can we inventory the laundry list trait so that we can get back to the healthy spiritual principle of the tradition? I pass.
I'm on mute. Thank you, Erin. Okay. All right, then, thank you for all those comments. The laundry list traits can play into so many different places and ways in our interactions. Let's move to a question. Oh, Buddy, go ahead before we move to five.
Let me just throw some humor in here. Suddenly I felt inadequate. My book ends on page 646. It doesn't have appendix D. Yep. I got a new copy here now, I see. Yeah, yep. I'm missing something.
Yeah, the appendix that was added with the
with the traits.
Yeah. Thank you. Okay. Let's move to question five then. If we said that the behavior in the skit represented distorted thinking, what would that mean? And maybe let's go back to the skit slide. So what would be considered distorted thinking? We've touched on it in various ways, but using that terminology.
We could do the skit again, especially since this is an audio recording.
Well,
no?
No, I think we're okay. Let's see. Denise?
Hi, what comes up for me is Chris, the one who, after hearing everyone making really good statements about why it's a bad idea, she's going, oh, you're overthinking it. Let's just go with it. So that's very distorted, because clearly she's not even listening or entertaining and doesn't sound like she or he's able to do a group conscience in a healthy way. Thanks.
Thanks, Denise. Dee Dee?
Hi, I thought I saw someone else's hand up. I think that the distortion I observed is the one-sided thinking. Drew, I ran into my therapist who told me about it. So I think it's one-sided thinking. That's what I can say right now. Thank you.
Buddy?
I don't think any of that is distorted thinking. I think this is an actual true representation of what we encounter in our meetings that rent space in a counseling facility. All these thoughts here are actual thoughts that our members would have, depending on their level of understanding of our traditions and our concepts. None of these thoughts to me occur to be distorted. It's just all a collection of people from different areas in their recovery and their knowledge of the fellowship, our inner workings. Yes.
Thank you. Maybe before we go further, what does the term distorted thinking mean? Because it's referred to in our book in various places. Actually, there's, let's see. I'm reading from my Kindle book because it's easy to search for a word or words and find things. It says in the 12 steps somewhere, so I could isolate it better, but codependence is driven by childhood fear and distorted thinking known as para-alcoholism. We unintentionally pass down our family insanity or distorted thinking. That doesn't necessarily define it, but there's something on page 23 at the bottom in the chapter, It Will Never Happen to Me. It says our para-alcoholism of fear and distorted thinking seems to drive our switching from one addictive behavior to another as we try to make changes in our lives. And to relate that to this skit, the distorted thinking might be to just go along with something because it seems like, oh, that sounds great. Something like that. Go ahead, Erin.
So to me, the distorted thinking, when I think of that and the references, it is, I'm distorted when I'm acting out of my traits in place of examining my thoughts. And with the person, Drew, just creating the flyer, putting the logo on it, doing all of this without the group conscience. That to me would be me, if I were doing that, it would be distorted thinking. Think, well, I'm just going to go ahead and do this and everybody's going to like it. And I don't, you know, I'm not worrying about what they're thinking. And then the other person who comes in and just simply agrees with me, and how we talked about before, well, you know, one is, maybe people pleasing or just, wanting to align myself with another person because I like what they're doing without thinking it through, almost like I'm reacting to something instead of taking my time and being thoughtful. So that's all. I pass.
Thank you. Dee Dee?
Hi. So I'm thinking a couple things. I'm thinking Drew has good intention, and so does Chris. And I'm thinking that they're not stopping to think about the ACA as a whole. Maybe some type of savior, rescuer type of, you know, oh, let's get this word out. What is it? Promotion. One of our traditions is attraction versus promotion. And my opinion and my thoughts, I'm thinking, you know, wow, this is a great way to promote it. ACA is a wonderful fellowship, which I totally agree with. I mean, that's how I felt when I first started. That's what I wanted to do, is just spread it to the world. But the thing is, the principles of our traditions must be respected. And again, someone mentioned group conscience. So that's kind of where my thoughts are. Thank you.
Thank you, Karen?
Thank you. If I'm understanding the question correctly, what I'm seeing is kind of a dependency thinking that's expressed in this skit, where sort of just the dependency on the center, the dependency on the therapist, is reflected in an uncritical approach to this particular idea of collaborating with them. And I was looking at the laundry list and I identified trait two, we became approval seekers and lost our identity in the process. So that's one distortion that I see. And laundry list 12, we are dependent personalities who are terrified of abandonment and will do anything to hold on to a relationship in order not to experience painful abandonment feelings. And I could see how that fear of abandonment, that desire to people please, could feed into an urge to just go along with the idea and collaborate with the center, thereby losing our identity as an ACA group in the process.
Thank you, Karen. Buddy?
Yeah, maybe I'm overthinking this. I guess the term distorted thinking to me sounds like a judgment. And if I were Chris and told that I have distorted thinking, again, no, I'm thinking from naivete or whatever, I'm naive, but my thinking is not distorted. Again, I have heard all of these, and the thinking would seem rational. I've been to meetings in institutions, and I went to one therapist. All of their lobby and coffee tables have all kind of 12-step literature on it. I've seen institutions where they have individual 12-step meeting lists posted on their bulletin boards. So none of this thinking in this skit, to me, is distorted. These are rational conclusions that any individual could come to based on the real life experience that I've seen in various places.
Thank you, buddy. Karen?
I was just thinking that I saw a bit of the reminded me of the flip side of the laundry list. Number one, we moved out of isolation and are not unrealistically afraid of other people, even authority figures. And I was thinking, as it was an annual event, and thinking that we do have public information services, even though it is in the tradition that it's attraction rather than promotion. I have seen in other fellowships as well that literature is available at sort of one-off events with the spirit of just spreading the word. But I do see in the skit the words of Drew in the second thing of that sense of guilt, I suppose, that they don't pay rent, they get it for free. So but as a one-off event, I don't see it as distorted thinking, them wanting to have presence at a one-off event, especially as they're discussing it as well. But yeah.
Thank you. When we were creating these questions, the word using the term distorted thinking was something that we hit on to do. Weren't 100% sure that it was the right way to approach it, but we thought we'd throw it out there and see how you felt about it. The thing about distorted thinking is I agree that it may sound like we're labeling people. And I would never say to another person individually or in a meeting or whatever, you have distorted thinking. I would never use that term, just to be clear. The thing is, in general, I think that in my experience, people go along with things that maybe are not would violate the traditions or whatever for a lot of different reasons. It was brought up, you know, a couple of times, the fear of abandonment, and that makes me also think about and I'm thinking that in terms of the fear of abandonment of Drew, who has her therapist there who's asking her to do this, and he or she is afraid to say no. And that's another thing that a lot of us eventually hopefully learn how to do is say no in our recovery. And in this case, not being able to separate the relationship with that person from what's best for the group. It's not uncommon. It's an opportunity for growth to find that. But the group as a whole, allowing the ability to question is important. When the skit ends, presumably the business meeting isn't over, but with some Chris saying, you're overthinking this, let's just see what happens, is a dismissal of the minority, you're overthinking this. So that's another issue too. The minority has a right to express an opinion and be listened to, and then hopefully a group conscience comes out of this business meeting, a group that they take a vote and so on. But yeah, it's challenging in the best of circumstances. We're all individuals. We bring a lot of our, we bring our own issues into everything that we do, and we hopefully learn from the experience, both as in our personal lives and in our business meetings. I think business meetings in our meetings are a great opportunity to deal with things in a way that hopefully will help us in our lives outside of our meetings. So, are there any other comments at all about Tradition 6? Because we'll end the discussion with that. Any other thoughts? Okay. All right.
Yeah, Joe, can
Aaron,
I?
Yes, okay. I just realized your hand was raised.
Well,
yes.
Okay. I'm just realizing as I'm looking here that one of the things that we forgot, so we make sure we have no prestige about us, is to put the tradition meditation into our PowerPoint. And in terms of one of the questions that could follow here in regarding, how do we use Tradition 6 and the spiritual principle of autonomy to come back to solution? I would like to now read the tradition meditation of 6.
Isn't that at the end of our PowerPoint presentation?
I don't have it in mind. It doesn't look like we did it.
It is. It's there.
Oh, okay. Very good. Okay. There I go again.
Okay. That's okay. That's
she
okay.
Always tells me I have distorted thinking. I don't know what she's talking about. No.
Not distorted thinking. And okay. Dee Dee just posted in chat that she Googled distorted thinking. And that's interesting. I'll read it out loud since some people will be listening to this. Cognitive distortions are habitual ways of thinking that are often inaccurate and negatively biased. Cognitive distortions usually develop over time in response to adverse events. 10 examples. Let's see, three types, a list of, okay, so there's a website and so on. Anybody can Google those things, so, but that's good information. Thank you, Dee Dee. All right, so then let's go back to the PowerPoint and we'll close up the session for today. Unless anybody has any other comments or questions. Okay, Cheryl. Okay, Aaron.
This is not.
Oh, wait a minute. I'm sorry. That was mine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. You can contact us at our email traditions@acawso.org, and then the workshop recordings and slides will be on the, you can get it from the homepage of the adultchildren.org website. And I'm fully aware of the fact that we don't have Tradition 5 up there yet either, but we'll get it there as soon as possible. That's my doing. I'll take responsibility for that. I will not flog myself for it, but I will take responsibility for it. Workshop dates and Zoom information can be found on the events calendar. Next month, we normally do this on the fourth Saturday of the month. We will be doing it on the fifth Saturday of the month next time for Tradition 7. It will be held on Saturday, July 30th. So, and that will be posted on the calendar too, events calendar. Okay, then just a reminder that of seven tradition contributions, if you're interested in sending one to the WSO, that's on the homepage of the WSO website, adultchildren.org, to contribute. Menu item. Okay, then next. Could I have a volunteer from the group, someone who would like to read the seventh tradition, our sixth tradition meditation that Aaron was referring to before? Darren. Oh, yeah. Darren, go ahead. I said Aaron, but I would love if you would read it. Darren, if you would read it, I would love that.
Darren, Aaron, and Karen.
Yeah. Yes. Okay.
Okay. Closing Tradition 6 meditation. Higher power, grant me the wisdom to know when a group project will carry the message of recovery to those who still suffer, or will direct group energy away from carrying the message. Guide us away from discussions about property, prestige, or endorsing causes that are not ACA. Give me the courage to speak clearly and thoughtfully for what I believe honors Tradition 6.
Thank you, Darren. Thank you all for being here today and joining us in this discussion. We will hopefully see you back again on July 30th. And with that, we can stop the recording. Thank you.
Thank you all.
Thank you all.